And then there's this, make the most of life after 50 with Prime Expo, a free event for active adults on April 14th. Learn more at PrimeExpoChicago.com.
Michael Steele joins us. And nothing to see here. Move along, people. All right, a couple questions. I want to ask you first. Let's talk about the census question. That's getting a lot of traction in the news today. The Trump administration wants to make this change when they do the 2020 census, right? Which is they're starting to send people out what, like the beginning of next year. Isn't that how they do it? They compile in 1919, then they release in 2019, then 2020.
Yeah. And then the legislature start changing the maps
2021. Right.
Right.
After that. Right. So for the 2022
cycle. Correct. Right.
So there is this is kind of an interesting thing. They want to ask the question, are you an American citizen on the questionnaire. So they're going to knock on people's houses, right? They're going to
just like that.
Do that. And then they're going to go, census here. How many people are in the house? How many of you guys are illegal? And what time is best for ICE to stop by and scoop everybody up?
And then they'll slam the door shut on your face and they won't fill out a census, which is what they worry about.
Everybody duck. The census person is here. What do you make of it?
Oh, well, if it were any other administration, I don't think it would be that big an issue. It is something that certainly has its origins. It was stopped in the 1950s. I think the 1950 census was the last time they did it, where they asked that question. There hasn't really been a need to really put that on the table. But with this administration, I think Anna's put her finger right on it, asking that question is tantamount to telling on yourself, which means that you're giving ICE a direct line to your front door. So it will have a chilling effect. People won't respond. In fact, probably won't participate. Here's the problem. It's a catch-22, because the fact is the states rely on that information and that data to apportion its resources and knowing how many people are going to be, on certain programs, et cetera, and the same at the federal level. So if there's an undercounting of the people who may be in need for city services, state services, and federal services, it could lead to some real problems downstream. And that's one of the biggest consequences of this chilling effect, is that people don't identify. So food programs, health programs, educational programs, work programs, all those programs that rely on a fairly accurate count of the people who are going to need them and use them, those numbers become a little bit iffy, and it's hard to make the kind of planning going forward. Mm-hmm. If this is all about if this were just about congressional districts, okay, fine, I can see people playing the game. But the fact that this is most importantly about other things other than congressional districts, there's a lot of other things that the information is used for, it could potentially become a problem.
Do you like it, Michael? What do you think? Is it a big deal?
I have to be honest with you. I have a real mixed opinion on it. I think it's appropriate to ask the question. Because if it were any other administration asking the question, if it were the Obama administration, if it was the Bush administration asking the question, I think the response would be less surrounded around fear, less concerned about what you're going to do with that information, and more in really assessing, where the immigrant population is in the country. But you have to go back and ask why did they stop? And they stopped doing it because it did have a chilling effect. And back in those days, it was also used against minority communities as well. So the assumption being that, well, if you're black, you can't be an American citizen. So it has a risky history in terms of its application.
Got it.
So I can understand why it's not necessary to use, and I don't think it's necessary really. I can see using it, but because it's coming out of the Trump administration, I can see why people have a problem with it.
Yeah, I'd be scared. John Bolton, he's coming into the Trump administration,
mm-hmm.
and you're familiar with the ambassador. Yeah. You've seen his work before, and
know him well. Yep.
And you know, everybody says he's very smart, but he's a tough guy in an office environment. He's very exacting. One report today quoted one of the people who worked for him as a kiss up, kick down kind of guy, where you kiss up to the people above you and then you kick the people down below you. And you know, whatever his management style is, I sort of assume that it's not exactly tons of fun fairyland over at the White House right now. But there is concern that this guy's too hawkish and that America doesn't need to get involved in another war that we'll be in forever, and that it potentially, even if you win it, what do you do with what you just conquered kind of situation. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the thing that the difference between the current foreign policy national security advisor McMaster and the incoming national security advisor is one of ideology. I think, you know, the problem is you're looking at a position that historically has not been ideological. It shouldn't be. But Bolton is. He has a very strong ideological view on foreign policy. It is one that is formed around the idea of the use of force and military action as a deterrent, as well as an appropriate response. And that's not necessarily what has been expected from that position. The other thing that I think is going to be interesting to watch for is there's 17 agencies that make up the National Security Agency. And that's everything from CIA to Department of Defense. So you're going to have these other agencies that will have an input in advising the National Security Advisor on what he should be telling the president. Now, you know,
but he can choose not to do that, right? I mean, he can choose to tell him what he wants to tell him.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So in a ideal world, he's reflecting the consensus of all of these individual agencies and heads who are saying what they think should be done.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't
believe in ideal worlds around here, Michael. I don't know how you feel about it, but
I know.
This is not happening. All right. And then very quickly, I want to play this for you from today. This is a new deal. The president has decided something here, which is that, you know, he didn't get his wall in this omnibus budget, which, as a matter of fact, not only did he not get his wall, he's actually not allowed to build more than 18 miles of wall under that budget. And he can't use any of the designs that he came up with. He went out and he pointed at them and did all that stuff. I mean, it's a totally, the Congress basically slapped him for the wall. So now, and he just figured this out after he signed the bill, because no one knew what was in the bill. And somebody read that part and then called him and went, "Hey, you're not going to believe this, but they not only are you not getting your wall, they're keeping you from ever getting a wall." All right. And so he went nuts. So then he decided maybe the military should pay for the wall. Listen to this.
Did that tweet this weekend, does he mean that he wants the military to pay for the border wall? Can you speak generally to that?
Again, I'm not going to get into the specifics of that, but I can tell you that the wall is continuing to be built currently, and we're going to keep pushing forward until it's fully completed in the way that the president feels is necessary to defend the country.
And isn't it true at this point that Mexico is just not going to pay for that wall?
I'm not going to go beyond what the president's already said. I think he still has plans to look at potential ways for that to happen.
Crap. Can we just say it? Can people just stop pretending in this country that this is serious, that any of this is serious? This is, I mean, there was more structure and discipline in Romper Room than there is here when it comes to this stuff. You're not, the Defense Department, the Congress is going to, how should we put it politely? You know what, a brick. If they start, you can't misappropriate the money. The money's been appropriated. You can't misallocate it. The president can't then say, well, I want you to spend this money on building the wall when that's not what it was appropriated for.
Yeah, and by the way, if he's allowed to do that, trust me, he'll spend it on Trump Organization buildings if he's able to do that. That's my take.
Right.
All right. Thank you very much, Michael. Appreciate
Thanks,
it,
Michael.
Sir. Michael Steele, we love you.
Take care, guys.
We do.
You can hear him on the Sirius XM, and you can also check him out on MSNBC. as well, former head of the Republican Party. All right, here is now Judy Pilak, and she has the WGN News in two short little minutes.